Well, it's my honor to introduce to you someone who really doesn't need an introduction. I think everyone here knows Brother Dennis. Brother Dennis, in case you don't, Brother Dennis is the Director of Missions for our Yadkin Baptist Association. And Brother Dennis, it's an honor to have you here. So you come on and bring us the word.
Good morning. Good to be here with you for Baptist Men's Day, and thank Brother Tim for the invitation. When he called me a couple of weeks ago, he was kind of had a stressed voice when he was talking with me, and he said, "Dennis, can you come and be our speaker for Baptist Men's Day?" And I said, "Well, Brother Tim, I'd like to, but don't you want to try to get somebody else?" He said, "I've already tried five other people." So hey, keep trying, somebody. And then I said, "Brother Tim, what do you want me to talk about?" He said, "About 15, 20 minutes is all I want to hear." So, all right, I'll see what I can do. But now, Brother Tim, I want to tell you for real, one Sunday I was doing a children's sermon just like what you were doing right there. And I particularly was doing that passage of Scripture where God knows all about us. And I happened to mention that what you just mentioned about He knows the number of hairs on our head. And some little girl said to me, "Preacher, God thanks you for not taking up much of His time." So it's just funny that you brought that out, that I remembered that. All right, we'll get started here. Right. We are glad to be in the house of the Lord today, and thank you for the invitation. Good to be here at Forbush Baptist Church. Our scripture this morning is a familiar passage. It's taken from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 25. We'll be looking at verses 34 through 40, if you'd like to follow along. Words of Christ, which says, "Then the king will say unto those at his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me, and I was sick and you visited me, and I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say unto them, 'Assuredly, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it unto me.'" Now, when we think about Baptist Men's Day, and think about our Baptist men, our organization of Baptist men across our state, hurricanes, tornadoes, storms happen all around us. Just a year and a half or so ago, right here in our own community, tornado came through. When these catastrophes happen, people need help. Now, I've been on mission trips and gone across the state and across the country, and I've come to realize that people in their time of need, their arms are open, they welcome you into their homes or what's left of their homes, and they're humbled by this experience of having to reach out to someone. Now, the closest that I can come to realizing when there is a need. Now, this happened about a year ago at our house. It was on a Wednesday evening. It was about 5:00. I was at the office and I was going to finish up doing some stuff, and I was going to go attend one of our churches, their Wednesday night service. My wife was getting ready to leave to go over to, I believe, Richmond Hill for the praise band practice. My daughter had left to go to the Y. My daughter went to the restroom, she left. My wife was packing up her truck with all the music and stuff to go to praise band practice. She forgot something, a piece of music. And so she went back into the house and she got the music, and as she was walking up the hallway, she heard water running. She looked into the bathroom, the guest bathroom, and the commode was overflowing. There was about 1 to 2 inches of water in the floor. And so she texted me at the office and she said, the toilet's overflowing. What do I do? And I said, you cut the water off. She texted back and she said, how? I said, turn the valve to the right. And she texted back, what valve? I then realized that the texting conversation needed to cease and I needed to phone her and talk to her. I said, just reach down there and turn it to the other right, you know, because I knew she would go to the right until it stops. And she did. I rushed home and we took towels and dried up the mess. But you know, 2 to 3 inches of water in just a 15-minute period of time. It actually took us through going through insurance and all the other things, getting bids and what have you, about 6 months before we actually got our bathroom restored. Now we have a basement. Now you say, oh good, the water ran down to the basement. Yes, it did. Went through the floor cracks and went to the basement. The one and only item that I have in my basement that was an antique that belonged to my great-grandparents. It was called a chiffon robe, like a wardrobe. They called it a chiffon robe. The bathroom is directly above the chiffon robe. Ran right down on it, ruined the top of it. But that's okay. Took us a while to get the bathroom back together. We had an inconvenience. Three of us going to the other bathroom and waiting and knocking on the door. Are you about finished? Months and months went by. We finally got the bathroom restored. That was just one room in our home with 2 to 3 inches of water. Can you imagine a hurricane coming through and 3 to 4 feet of water in your entire home? Everything is affected. Now, there's a saying that goes from many years ago. I hear people say, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. We're just a small church. We're a rural church. We don't have hundreds upon hundreds on our roll. We're small. We're little. What can we do? What possibly could we help to accomplish? The old saying is, little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. And I think about that. What can you do at Fall Bridge Baptist Church? What can your men do? What can your organizations do here to help in those times of need? I want to share with you this morning 3 things. And everybody can at least do the first 2. And many of you can do the 3rd one and do all 3. Number 1 is that you can pray. Everybody can pray. Now you want to let your heart melt. It's call on a child to pray. And just listen to the sincerity of their heart. To pray. Scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. What are we going to pray for? When you think about the opportunities that await us. The opportunities that are out there. First of all, when there's these catastrophes. When there's these needs. You pray for those that have been devastated by the storm. They're displaced. I can tell you firsthand. 2 years ago when Hurricane Irma came to Florida, my in-laws had to be evacuated from their home and live in shelters for about 3 weeks. And I had to go down and rescue them and bring them here. They're now living in North Carolina. People are affected when storms come their way. You can pray for those that are volunteering to help, that are giving of their time to go and to share in the needs that are prevalent. Pray for the restoration of homes. But also as you go and help to restore a home, you try to help to restore a family and a structure that was once there. Certainly praying for those. Praying that Christ would be seen in everything that's done. Now, I'm a pastor, and people say, what do you want me to call you? Preacher, pastor, reverend. I've been called all kinds of things, okay? Many times when I've gone on these trips, people will look at us that we have been there to help in their home and in their communities, and they will look at us as a group and call us angels, you know? Now, the closest I've ever been called an angel is this. A couple of months ago, I was preaching right over the road here at Deep Creek Baptist Church. My daughter always sits down close to the front with me. And that particular Sunday, Lindsay, her friend, was up doing the announcements for the church. And when Lindsay got through doing the announcements, she came by and got my daughter and said, "Come sit with me up in the balcony." And so my daughter went and sat up in the balcony. And after church, I said, "Well, Emily, how did I look from up in the balcony?" She said, "Daddy, you know that light that was shining above your head? It blinded us up there in the balcony." Now I think about touched by an angel. You know how they had that little glow? So that's the closest the glow I got was that. But you know, when you go and you volunteer, and you know that people are praying for you, it gives you strength. It gives you that energy to get up, even though you're tired as can be, getting up and going. And then you're also praying for the folks not to lose hope. You know, don't lose hope. We will help you get things back restored. In some cases, better than what they were to start with. But praying. And we can pray. All of us can pray. And pray that our talents and our abilities can be used to help others. So everybody can pray. Everybody agree with that? Everybody can pray. Number two, you can give. You can give. When there's a catastrophe, there's always a list of things that are needed. Things that are needed, and most often it's bottled water. You think about that. When my in-laws were in Florida and they were in the arena, in the shelters, do you know they would pay dearly for a cup of ice? There was no electricity. Everything that they were drinking was room temperature. Whether it be a bottle of water or a soft drink, room temperature. A bag of ice. How can you give a bag of ice? Give bottled water, canned foods, cleaning supplies. We've had a trailer up at the office on a couple of occasions trying to fill it with supplies and taking down east when this last storm came through. Building supplies, certainly those are needed. Clothes, blankets, towels. And your list goes on and on. We can give those things, can't we? We may not can give all of that list, but we can give some. And what I have learned is that if you give your little, and you give your little, and your little, it amounts to a lot. That trailer was up at the office. It's been up there twice now asking for donations. And somebody would come and say, "All I've got is 6 cans of soup and a box of crackers." That's all right. Someone else would come with blankets and towels. And someone else would come with baby supplies and baby formula. And the next thing you know, our trailer was filled. Filled. Because your little added to your little and my little, it became much in the sight of God. So we can give material things. Secondly, we can give a financial donation. Give, and then the people that are involved can go and buy the things that they need for helping in those areas, whether it be building supplies or food supplies. So we can make a monetary donation. You know, the other day I saw this cartoon. It was just a little cartoon about a pig went into a tattoo parlor. Now that sounds strange, doesn't it? And the pig said to the tattoo artist, "I want you to draw something on me that makes me look rich." And so he did. He drew a little slot on his back, like a piggy bank. Right? How many of us remember piggy banks? You know, pennies add up, don't they? Pennies make nickels, and nickels make dimes, and dimes make quarters, and dollars. It adds up. Every little bit is important. So you give your widow's mite, and God will bless it. So you can give material things. You can give financially. Also, you can give a gift card to some store so that they can take that and use it for whatever the needs are. So I think we can all agree we can pray. I think we can agree that we can give. Now the third thing, this will not be for everybody, but for those who can, the third thing is to go. To go. Now, you know what the saddest thing is in our catastrophes and our disasters? They're all over the headlines of the newspaper. They're all over the evening news, and we think, oh my goodness, look at those folks. Look at the devastation when a town in Florida almost got wiped off the map by one of the tornadoes that came through. We have empathy and sympathy, and we say, my goodness, look at those folks. Look what they're going through. And you know, as the days go by, a week later, 2 weeks later, it's not in the headlines. It's not in the news. And you know what we began to think? Everything is back to normal. Oh, no. Sometimes it takes years upon years before everything is restored back to the way it was. And you know what happens a lot of times? This is sad to say. Crews have come. They've restored some of the area. And a year later, another storm comes through. And just wipes away everything that they had accomplished. It's never ending. It's never ending. But we can go. Now, I shared with them this morning. I didn't want, Brother Tim, the reason I didn't say a whole lot this morning, I didn't want to duplicate for now. But, you know, I'm not an electrician. I'm not a carpenter. I'm not a plumber. There's things that I don't know how to do. But the things that I do know how to do, years ago, I went with Boonville Baptist Church. We went down to Gulfport, Mississippi after a storm had come through that area. We had just moved to Boonville. And I had taken our laundry room and I put some metal shelves on each wall, three walls around that room, put the braces on, put the screws in the studs, and made extra storage there. When we got to one home in Gulfport, the lady had gone and purchased metal shelving. She said, I want some metal shelves in my laundry room and in my pantry. Some of the guys, you know, sometimes how it is. Well, that's just a little job. We won't do something big. We won't do something else. Let us paint or what have you. And so they said, does anybody want to put up these shelves? I said, I'll be glad to do it, because it was the same shelves that I had just put up in my laundry room in Boonville a few weeks earlier. Now, folks, it's been 13 years. The shelves are still in Boonville. They're still on the wall. So I took what little bit I knew, and to this lady, having shelves in her closet and in her pantry, it meant the world to her. It's the little things. It's the little things. What you can do when you go on these trips, you say, well, what can I do? I can't do those things of carpentry and plumbing and electrician. Well, you can be like me. In one way, you can be a gopher. You can be a gopher. They'll say, well, you go get this. Go get that. Go get some nails. Go get some screws. Bring another board. Bring another paintbrush. Go and get in the supplies and take them to the people. But also, when a large catastrophe happens, there are things that you can do that we take for granted. I don't know anybody that does not like to eat. Everybody likes to eat, don't we? Amen. Some more than others. You know, I got my fork right here. I carry it with me wherever I go, so I'm ready anytime. I got my spoon, too. But, you know, I received training on the feeding team. You see this when catastrophes happen. Some of the first ones on the site are the feeding units, feeding thousands of meals every day. A hot meal. A hot meal given to someone in Jesus' name. And people will come and say, thank you. Thank you. How much do they pay you to come cook these meals? They don't pay us anything. We volunteer. God pays us. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to someone else. Can you run a chainsaw? You know, we saw this just in our own community year before last, over here in the Courtney area. The trees that are down. The storm that we just had a few weeks ago with the ice and trees down. We had one of our churches on a Sunday afternoon out cutting trees out of people's roofs and out of their roadways. That was the ox in the ditch, if you know that passage. Can you wash clothes? Can you imagine a storm coming through and you have nothing to wear? Thankful for the donations that people have given. But do you know how much it means to have a hot shower? and clean clothes. And on our Baptist units, we have shower units, and we have washing machines and dryers. And we have people that volunteer to wash other people's clothes and to make sure that they have a hot shower. All of these things. Child care. You know, you're trying to go back to your home and see what you can salvage. And you've got young children. And those young children can be cared for. Give you ease of mind while you go. You don't want them to see that devastation. So you can watch children. Or you can counsel. Pray with people. You can be on an assessment team to go out to see the job site and see what needs to be done. What materials will be needed. And then what crews need to go. And to help. You say, Forbush can do that? Yes, Forbush can do that. Now, when I became director of missions about 8 years ago, this is what I found. And I tell this to churches when they don't have a pastor. When churches don't have a pastor, three things happen. Number one, people lose interest. They don't attend as much. Number two, they don't participate. They don't take positions in the church. And number three, their giving ceases. And all those situations, they'll say, we'll start attending and participating and giving once we get a pastor. Okay? The same thing is true in an association. When you don't have a director of missions, guess what? Churches don't attend the meetings as much. They don't attend. They don't participate. They don't take positions in the association. And they don't give as much. So 8 years ago when I came to Yadkin Association as your director of missions, that's what I saw. The same thing that happens in churches happened in the association. We had 29 churches, if you will, in a big lake. And everyone had their own little island. They were their own little church. I get calls at the office frequently from hospice, from social services, from hospitals. And they will say to me, Pastor Shaw, we have a lady who's been in therapy and she's got to go back home and she needs a wheelchair ramp. Can you help with that? I'll get the information. I'll say, well, where is her home? Where does she live? Well, she lives over in the Courtney area. You know what I did? I started calling. I called Courtney Baptist. I called Huntsville Baptist. I called Forbush Baptist. I called Deep Creek Baptist. I said, we got a need over here. Can y'all work together? Can you help in this situation? And they said, yes. I get another call. It's over in the East Bend area. So I call Richmond Hill Baptist. I call Enon Baptist. I call East Bend Baptist. I said, we got a need over in your area. Can you come together and help? Yes, we can come together. And every time I made that call, our churches said, yeah, we can work together. We can do this. And the same is true even today. There's a need. Now, I've been talking about needs when devastation happens. But you know what? We've got needs right here in your own community. Many of your church members may have a need. Heard this morning, someone went and a couple of the guys went and helped with a ramp, helped somebody that needed a ramp, cleaned somebody's gutters, whatever the need may be. You've got needs right here in your church. And so as Baptist men, that you will see those needs. And folks, if you have that need, don't be ashamed to ask. These men are wanting something to do. They're wanting to serve. Now, they're not going to build on a new addition to your house and put in a jacuzzi and a hot tub like that, nothing like that. But if there's a need at your home that they can help you with, don't be ashamed or afraid to ask. There may be people in this community. What better way to go to them and say, I see that you, the other day you were trying to get in your front door, you were struggling with a wheelchair, can we help you? What better way to be the hands and the feet of Christ to reach out to people in their time of need? And then we can go on to that, not only our community, but our county. And we've got the big event coming up this summer, Impact Yadkin, and that's exactly what they're doing. Going through and assessing the needs and getting teams from the churches. Get involved in that. Everybody can get involved with that here at Forbush. The men and the women, the children, the youth. because they need people to cook meals, to fix meals, to prepare things, to get supplies, go get supplies and take to the various locations. We can do things throughout our state. We have catastrophes that happen in North Carolina. And we can go down to Red Springs Mission Camp or Shelby Mission Camp and go and be the hands and feet of Christ. Then we have catastrophes in our own country, across the United States, the tornadoes and the hurricanes, and then around the world when these events happen. You say, well, I can't do that much. I'm going to tell you one more time. Little is much when God is in it. And all God asks you to do is do your little bit. You do your little to let your light shine. Now, I'll close with this. I may have shared this with you on another occasion, but years ago when I was doing a children's sermon, Brother Tim, I had three candles. I had a little bitty, what they call a birthday candle, you know, a little bitty thing about this tall. And then I had what they call a tapered candle. It's about this tall, about this big around, about the size of a quarter. And then I had that big old candle about this big around and about this tall. And I lit all three candles. And you know what? All three of them gave the same amount of light. Same amount. Now I realized that the big candle would last longer than that little birthday candle. And the birthday candle would go out before the little tapered candle would go out. But you know what? All three of them let out the same amount of light when you look at that little flame up there. And that's what Jesus asked you to do. The question was asked, Lord, when? When did we see this? When did we see that? And it's right here all around us. And what he's asking us to do is to let your light shine. Now, when I've been on these trips, people say, now, what was your name again? Now, where were you from? And we'll say to them, it doesn't matter where we're from. What matters is who we represent. Because when we leave, we don't want you to remember our name. We want you to remember Christ that sent us and share him with others that he might be made known. So let your light shine so that others can be drawn to him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we share together here at Forbridge Baptist Church. We thank you for the Baptist men in this church. And we pray, Father, that they would be the leaders that you would have them to be. Father, they would be that example in their home and in this community. Father, they would take their time and their talents and their abilities, and that they will use them for the cause of Christ. And Father, that we as a congregation, we can pray. Pray for one another. Pray for those that are in need. We can give. And Father, you may compel many of us to go. Go and to serve in the name of Christ. Father, I pray that during this time of invitation that your Holy Spirit would be at work. And Father, that you will draw us closer to you than when we first entered into this sanctuary. And Father, help us to truly be grateful for your blessings to us. Because we could not count them if we tried to name them one by one. Father, I pray that if there's one present day that does not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today they would accept Christ into their heart. If there's one who would need to come and recommit themselves into your service, to be a candidate for baptism, to unite with Forbridge Baptist Church, they have a prayer concern, a need, or a praise, and they just want to come here to this altar. Father, whatever our need is, Father, you are passing this way, and Father, we will not be the same. We ask now that you would forgive us of our sins, for we pray this in the name of our Savior. Amen.